I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and in this podcast, we offer expert advice and practical strategies so you can experience more sexual pleasure. We use explicit language, and nothing is taboo. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes by going to pleasuremechanics.com and hitting the Ask Us Anything button. While you're there, please check out our complete suite of online courses and video guides designed to help you become a better lover and have the amazing sex life you deserve. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off any of our online offerings. In this episode, we are going to the fringes of human sexuality to discover what fringe fetishes have to teach all of us about having a more pleasurable sex life and how to work with your fetishes within your relationship so you can maintain a healthy relationship while getting what you want and need. Charlotte's going to get us started by reading a question submitted by a listener. A little bit of warning here. We're going to be talking about some things that you may not have thought about before or that are surprising to you, but just try to keep an open mind and roll with us.
Right. You may not necessarily understand why people feel these ways, but if we can keep an open mind and approach this with curiosity and see what we can all learn from them, we can all benefit. So Chris says...
Not me, another Chris. There's more than one of us.
I have had a weird fetish for many years, probably since I was about 10. I am now 37. I've been with my partner for 10 years and we have a family together, including a traditional family dog. Thank you for setting the scene there. She calls me weird in jest, but often throws my fetish into an argument as her way of trying to put me down. That aside, she will very occasionally let me indulge in my fetish when we are being intimate together. I like to wear nappies or diapers. There is an online community which is frequented by like-minded others. There are adult babies who go the whole way and dress as a baby, which I don't find appealing at all. And there are the diaper lovers, which I fall into. I used to wear diapers under my normal clothes secretly, which was a turn-on. Sometimes my partner would put them on for me, which was a bigger turn-on. I enjoy being touched and stroked whilst wearing nappies, and enjoy masturbating whilst wearing them either with or without my partner present. What can I do to make her more cooperative with my lifestyle? She has said in the past that she doesn't want a man who wears nappies. It's not right. More recently, I think she's come to realize that I'm not going to suddenly stop with my fetish. I've tried, but it always comes back. I don't want to give it up. I enjoy it, but I wish she would be less critical about it.
So in the spectrum of fetishes, there are ones that are more common, like bondage, high heels, feet. And there are ones that are more uncommon. And I think diapers are somewhere in the middle of that spectrum. I have talked to people whose biggest sexual turn-on is squishing burritos in a sneaker and having someone describe the texture of the different components of a burrito. I don't know how many people share that fetish, but probably more than one. Like, that's probably a community of maybe a couple hundred burrito squishers. Whereas a very common fetish like high heels or feet are counted in the millions. And so diapers are somewhere in between. We've heard it before. There is, as you said, a huge online community. And what's important here is not your particular fetish, because there are people who fetishize all sorts of things like balloons or animal costumes or shaving cream. Really, anything you can think of, someone probably fetishizes it. And when we talk about a fetish is an unusual arousal around a specific object or act that causes high levels of intense arousal. And fetishes are not a disorder in any way. It's not a psychological problem. It's not a physiological problem. The medical community can't really figure out what causes fetishes. They're not caused by childhood trauma or anything like that. There's really no rhyme or reason why certain people find certain things intensely arousing. And this is contrasted with what's called a paraphilia, which is something that causes like a fugue state of arousal where you're taken to extreme levels of arousal very quickly in isolation to any other part of your sexuality. So it's the only thing that can get you turned on. And that's when psychiatrists and psychologists start to look at that as a certain kind of problem or something to be worked with. And so it doesn't sound like your fetish is a problem in any way. It sounds like it's a natural part of your sexuality, shared by lots of other people. And the other important thing here is that no one is being harmed by your fetish.
Yeah, this is an essential piece when it is not hurting anybody. It's just something that for whatever reason you are especially turned on by and want to explore and play with in your life. That is not a dangerous or wrong preference. I think it's so important that we take the morality out of these things and totally understand that your wife feels challenged by this and feels like it's unusual and has her own feelings about your masculinity with it. And those are understandable in our culture, but there's nothing morally wrong about it. And it's important that you know that strongly. Other people will have other opinions about that, but I think that's the truth, and it's important that you hold strong in that knowing.
But I think that cultural shaming and those opinions come from a history where a very narrow window of sexuality was acceptable socially. And so if you were a man wanting vaginal intercourse with a woman in a certain specific position, that was okay. And everything else that turned on humans was not okay and was sinful and was a shameful thing that must be hidden away. And we're only recently coming out of this history, but we're coming out in a kind of amazing way with the power of the internet. What's being revealed is that more people than not are interested in a really wide range of turn-ons and activities, and the diversity of sexual arousal is being exposed for the first time in a way we can quantify it and measure it. And the outcome of that, the lesson there, is that people are turned on by all sorts of things. Things that would surprise us and cause other people to be like, what the hell do they find arousing about that? But to the people who find it arousing, it is a very real experience in their body, in their mind. And it's not something that can be explained or made logical in any way. It's really just part of the diversity of the human sexual family. And we need to learn how to celebrate it rather than judge it. And a good analogy here is to look at food preferences. We eat things that other people would find totally repulsive, if not unthinkable. Like, some people love fermented shark that's been buried for 20 years and is as funky as the sky is large. And other people would think that's the most disgusting thing to eat, but to them it's a delicacy and is a super big turn on. Like, if you like really smelly cheeses, other people might be happy with cheddar. But if you're into cheese, the smellier the better. And some people even buy cheese with maggots in it, and that's a delicacy, right? And so we can accept that in certain level in the food world, where people's different preferences can be looked at with a spirit of curiosity. If you can't understand it, you can at least accept it. And I think that's where we need to move towards as a culture, where we say, if it's not harming anyone, if it's not causing anyone pain, if it's not violent, and if it's consensual amongst adults, then, you know, why not? You know, if we just approach it, as Charlotte said, with a spirit of curiosity, then it takes the charge away and the shaming away, and it frees us all up to be a lot more honest with ourselves.
And I applaud you for having figured out this is something that turns you on and been honest with your wife and tried to share it.
Those are all huge steps.
I think a lot of people have these sorts of desires and keep them hidden for decades. So it's a big deal to be honest and sharing this, and well done.
That said, it's not really fair for her to throw this in the middle of an argument any more than it would be fair for you to poke her buttons that you know would hurt her. That's not really fighting fair, and I encourage you just to stand up for yourself and say, listen, this is something I've been vulnerable with you about. Please do not use it as ammunition against me. That doesn't feel good to me. It hurts my feelings, and see if you can take that off the table. I don't think it's ever good to use sexual ammunition in the context of fights that have nothing to do with it. The important thing here now that we're going to transition to is, how do you make your relationship work with your fetish if it's not something that's shared amongst you?
Right. And there are different categories here, because some people are really turned off by a fetish that a partner has. And that is a different scenario than somebody who is neutral about the experience. Because in all sexual relationships, there is a Venn diagram. We are each individuals, and there's this overlap area where we meet. And finding the things that we like and want to share together is part of figuring out what a sex life with another person looks like. So in this particular situation, it sounds like your partner has been open to exploring it. She doesn't necessarily love it, but she's open in moments. So we're going to get to that in a minute. But first, we're just going to talk about what to do if somebody really is completely turned off by a fetish
and unwilling to participate in it.
Right.
In that case, it's really important to acknowledge that it's part of your partner's sexuality and to honor it as such. And to find some way to give them permission to enjoy it and explore it without you. Because if you repress it and deny it altogether, it will simmer and become more and more intense until it causes an affair of some sort. Either going to a sex worker to get their fetish taken care of, having an online affair with, like, chatting online with someone about it that's considered an emotional affair, or finding someone in the fetish community who wants to share it with them. They will express it in some way, or it'll just cause a boatload of resentment and feeling like part of them has been taken away. And you don't want that if you want a long-term healthy relationship. And so you can give them permission to watch porn and explore the fetish that way, to fantasize about it, to have a consensual online relationship with someone who will chat with them about it, to consensually see a sex worker as your budget allows, if they feel safe doing that and have a certain fetish they need to express, and that's the safest way to do it within your relationship. But you need to find some outlet for it. But better yet, you find a way to participate with your partner's fetish once in a while.
And I think it's important to think about this as a way that somebody is giving you their time and attention and going out of their comfort zone to try and provide an erotic experience for you. So in that context, you want to be thinking about how you can serve them in response. Not that you're creating a transactional experience of, if you'll play with nappies with me, I will do something for you. But in the larger context of your relationship, that you are wanting to also give them the kind of time, care, attention, and service that they are giving you once in a while.
It's a little bit like if one of you was really into the ballet and the other was really into hockey games. You might say, come with me to a hockey game once in a while, and I'll go to the ballet with you once in a while. And one of you is going to enjoy the ballet much more than the hockey game, but you're still doing it together and taking pleasure out of your lover's pleasure and enjoying what they enjoy, because it's part of what brings you together in a relationship. And within the context of sexuality, it's even more important, because you can say, go to the hockey games with your buddies and I'll go to the ballet with my girlfriends, but it's not that easy when it comes to sex. The only people, if you're in a monogamous long-term relationship, like, you're going to be exploring this with each other or with no one. And so it becomes even more important to say, okay, I will go beyond my comfort zone, as Charlotte was saying, and do this with you, but let's look at ways that you can also be giving back to me. And there are lots of different ways of making that work. And this is, again, for people who are not completely turned off and disgusted by their partner's fetish, but who can have a more open mind, and it can be more neutral. And from that place, you can even make it into a game, especially if it causes your partner high levels of arousal. We all know that it's fun to turn your lover on. And so if there's this thing you can do that gives them a huge amount of arousal, there's a way of making that fun for you, even if you don't get why putting him in an adult diaper is sexy to him. Like, you can still make it fun because he's getting a raging hard on and is, like, so excited to be doing it that that in and of itself can be fun, don't you think?
Right. So I think it's important to play with the game part of it and to find what parts of the play do feel enjoyable to the woman in this case, because there can be a lot of power play in that potentially. Could she take a day and assist, you know, put you in diapers and ask you to clean the house? Would she be pleased to have the home cleaned? Would you be turned on by being put in diapers and being asked to do something for her? And at the end of the day, could she
praise your work and then give you rewards?
Right. And could she have gone out all day and had a lovely day on her own somewhere? Could she be relieved of work that she didn't want to do? It's like, how can you both get needs met and enjoy the process?
Right. Or put you in a diaper and then you give her tons of massage and oral sex and lavish her with pleasure, and you're getting really aroused because you're feeling the diaper and your genitals rubbing against them and whatever elements of it turn you on, but she's also getting her sexual needs met. How do you negotiate this? And the specifics of that will be really up to you, but I think the overall theme here for everyone who's listening is you have to find ways to honor both of your individual sexualities while coming together in that Venn diagram overlap where your sexualities can play together. And that's where a fulfilling long-term sex life comes. And this is not to say you have to wear diapers every time you're intimate. And that's also really important for her to know that she has her lover and you can be sexual with her in a variety of ways. And this is going to be a special once-in-a-while thing that you do to amp up your arousal. And then meanwhile, you're doing things once in a while that she really likes to service her and pleasure her.
So finding out what that would be for her is an important part, perhaps, of creating the environment in the relationship where there is space for both of your needs to be met and explored.
Yeah, and I think for people who don't have a specific fetish, it's sometimes more challenging to point towards what her specific desires might be. Maybe that's foot massage, maybe that's oral sex. Maybe that's cleaning the house or getting her to-do list done. I think sometimes women especially have an easier time naming things that are out of the bedroom that would be very pleasing to them, but that still counts in a way. It's still service. It's still time and attention and focusing on what she needs to make her life more pleasurable. And as you attend to those areas, then she might be able to start naming things in the bedroom, in your sex life, that would bring her more pleasure, bring her satisfaction, fulfill her desires. And so it is a long-term thing you're working out together. But it sounds like you guys are both committed to your family, and for anyone who's in a long-term relationship where you are committed and invested in making the relationship work, having these conversations is a big part of that. And having a sense of goals together with your sexuality, just like you have financial goals and spiritual or value-based goals together as a family, you want to have goals in your sex life. And if one of those goals for you is fulfilling this fetish and experiencing it because it gives you a tremendous amount of arousal, then you negotiate that in and figure out how to make it work.
And I think expressing to her, you may have already done this, but maybe over the years, it's important to redo again, why you enjoy this so much, like the nuances and the details of why it turns you on, I think can sometimes be helpful for other people who have no concept of why it could be erotic. It can give a little bit more understanding, and just that your gratitude for her exploring it with you, that you understand that it's not like her turn on, but that you really appreciate the effort and the time and the care that she expresses to you by allowing this and bringing it into your bedroom once in a while. I think that people always appreciate being appreciated and gratitude, and explaining a little bit more could maybe, hopefully, take off some of the critical edge that you are noticing in her.
And that critique, that criticism might just be coming from fear of the unknown, fear of losing you, a discomfort with alternative sexualities in general. And so, yeah, talking about it, naming specific things you find that turn you on about it, if you can. Sometimes it's a much more vague sensation and you don't even know why it turns you on. But getting as specific as you can and praising her for being open-minded enough to even have these conversations will go a long way.
And I hope from this conversation there's something that we can all take around being more open-minded and trying to understand other people's desires and fetishes in this case, but desires in general, and how we can get creative and find ways to meet each other's needs while also having our own needs met and creating a sex life that you and your partner really enjoy. Because there's something really incredible about two people creating a private world that is fulfilling and interesting and erotic and surprising sometimes. And it does take being stretched out of our comfort zone, no matter what people's interests are. Like, that's what keeps things interesting and rich. And may we all learn from this.
So let us know how it goes. We'd love to hear a follow-up from you. And for everyone else listening, if you have any questions about fetishes or quirky turn-ons that you think about and want to experience more of and want some advice around, you can always be in touch with us. Go to pleasuremechanics.com, hit the Ask Us Anything button, and share your story, ask your questions, or suggest a topic for a future episode of this podcast. While you're there, please explore our complete suite of online courses and video guides designed to help you become a better lover and have more fun in bed. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off any of our offerings as our thanks to you for being part of our worldwide listening community. We really appreciate it. We are here to guide you every step of the way as you create the amazing sex life you deserve. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.